Have you ever seen someone do really well and wonder how on earth they managed it? I've found myself asking that very question at times, and now I want to uncover the elements that go into creating success, influence, connection, and most importantly, happiness in people's lives. My friends, welcome to the High Performance Human Podcast.
A warm welcome to the High Performance Human Podcast. It's Andy here. I hope you are all well. I have myself a very, very, very cool guest on this episode. Francesca Dean is a human who is without comparison, I would have thought. She has inspired not just myself, but many people on Facebook and on Instagram with her efforts at J7 Fitness Academy with Jovino McLean, with all of the work that she's been doing with him. Francesca is...
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Hello, everyone. Good day, Australia.
Oh man, look, it's like just gone past 20 past four in the morning as we record this over in Australia, and I am getting woken up more and more and more and more with every second that I'm interacting with this human being. Now, Francesca is a cerebral palsy warrior, in her own words, which for me is a really, really cool way to see it. And she is someone who really does epitomize everything that we're trying to achieve with this podcast. So we're really trying to make high performance more accessible and really get it off the pedestal that society in comparison puts it on. And when I came across Francesca via one of our previous podcast guests, Jovino McLean, it was very, very obvious that I'd connected with someone who really does live a high performance life every single day of the week. Francesca, how are you going? How's everything in the world?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really, really excited to say that with your listeners and share my cerebral palsy journey. It's been such a roller coaster, it's been an amazing one at the same time. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, look, pleasure's all ours. Really, really is. And you give the listeners a bit of an idea as to who you are, because we've said that you're a cerebral palsy warrior. Give us a bit of an idea as to who you are and where you're from and where you're based and all those sorts.
So my name is Francesca Dean. I'm 29 and I live in the northwest of England. It's not always sunny. It's always very, very rainy. but it is just, it's an absolutely brilliant place. So as you said, as you quite rightly said, Andy, I will see you at J7, but I also like to do lots and lots of fun activities as well. If I may, please, can I give a shout out to my football team, the Lancashire Spitfires Power Chess team? I am the first female player on our team. So we were set up back in 2020. So just as the COVID lockdown was kicking in. Well, then, you know, sadly, that was stopped for a little bit. And then now we were launched properly in 2022. And I'm in world history the first female player. So that's quite an accolade.
Right. What position do you play?
I do a bit of everything. I hope Coach Warren doesn't mind me telling you this, but I do sometimes go down the wrong way on the pitch. But, you know, I'm still learning, so it's early days, so, you know. But, yeah, I just absolutely love it, and they're all absolutely amazing. My family as well. I'm so lucky to just be on this journey, and, yeah, I'm just absolutely loving life.
Right. Now, I've got to ask this question because I ask this question for all my guests, right? But I'm super keen on really digging into this human that I've got on the screen with me. First things first, though, Francesca, like I have this thing where I see high performance in four elements, right? Success, connection, influence, and happiness, right? And I personally feel that a human in flow is a person that's experiencing a level of high performance in their lives, right? But for me, I'm really interested to hear what your definition of high performance is. So tell me, what's your definition of high performance?
So my definition of high performance is just showing up no matter what, like, so is he, even if it's like, even if it's like a really hot day, a really rainy day, or we just show up, no matter what you're going through, because the world wants to see you.
I love that. No one's answered it like that. I'm saying that seriously. I get lots of different answers, which is, I love it. I love that question, right? But for you, showing up no matter what is, it's a really different angle on this question. A lot of people, when we get asked this question, right, a lot of us tend to default to the comparison thing, right? They default to, you know, what society deems is high performance. And half the problem when it comes to high performance is that people tend to judge what high performance actually even is based on what they see on Instagram, right? For yourself, the fact that you can define it by saying showing up no matter what, it really does sort of sum up what high performance should be about. Right? Because now you've got, obviously you've had challenges as you've been growing up and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And you've mentioned that you have been living with cerebral palsy now for 29 years. And I think that for a lot of people, they don't realize, they don't understand that sometimes high performance for someone, like whether, you know, from a mental health point of view, I can attest to this. For example, sometimes high performance is just getting out of bed. It's for some people, like you said, it's just showing up no matter what. It's fascinating to hear the basic fundamentals of what high performance is for a human being, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Now, tell me for myself who is somewhat ignorant. Tell us a bit more about cerebral palsy. Now, how does it affect you? Have you had it all your life? Like, give us a bit of an idea as to give us a bit of information around cerebral palsy.
So my actual diagnosis wasn't until I was about 18 months old. So basically, cerebral palsy affects your development, also your limbs. So because I have it on my left hand side of the left side of my brain, that means I can communicate with you now. I can speak. I can verbalize my opinion. Whereas if I had it on the other side, then I wouldn't be able to do much at all. But you know, I consider myself not in like a really positive way, but I consider myself blessed because I'm speaking up for other individuals, like myself and other lobbyists who are possibly starting on their own journey and they don't have a clue. Because a lot of families are given that diagnosis and they say, oh my God, like what now? In my case, there is a little bit of that, but as I've gotten older, it's just been who I am. And there's been a lot of positives about it. I mean, yes, there is some negatives in the way that society deems you. Now, sometimes society sees you as like, oh, well, you can't do anything. But with me, that's just not the case.
Now, I want to ask you this, right? And I want to get stuck into the meat and veg of this because that is one thing that, there's physical, you've got physical restrictions, right? So you mentioned it's down the left-hand side of your brain.
Yeah, so
now you mentioned that if it was on the right side of your brain, you wouldn't be able to talk or nothing like that.
Because it is basically down to the lack of oxygen that happens when the baby's inside the womb. But basically when the placenta breaks down, that causes the lack of oxygen.
Right. Okay, so it was lack of oxygen when you were being cooked, in your mum's tum that created this concern. Right now, as you've been growing up, in terms of development, developmentally, are you still developing normally, except for the fact that you've got inherent issues like with your brain, so the rest of your body develops normally,
absolutely. Just sometimes I'll have like involuntary movement here and there, I struggle with anxiety. Sometimes just say like if something changes really fast, then I sometimes have problems making that transition. But apart from that, I'm just me. And to be honest, you know what? I don't feel like I need fixing, because there's a lot of people when their child is being diagnosed with this condition, they're like, oh well, I wish that I could do something. You know, I wish there was something that could be done. But actually, I feel like I'm just the way I am. I don't need fixing.
Have you always been like that, or is this something that you've gotten more recently, like this attitude of not letting it define you sort of thing? Like, is this something that you have developed over time, or is this just something that you've just inherently had?
You know, I think it's something that my family have kind of instilled in me. I think because my family had that diagnosis, they just said to me, yeah, you might see people, you are normal to us, like we wouldn't have you any other way. So I guess that because they've been so strong and because they've kind of worked on, that's how I've been brought up too. Like not any different, you know. I went to a special school for like the first year, but then because I made so much good progress, I went to mainstream school. So that to me has been like the best outcome, because I think if I'd have stayed in like a specialist school, then I think I wouldn't have had as many options as I've had, because I've been able to go to college. I've been able to just do so many different things that a lot of doctors just tell you that when you're born, you're not going to have the chance to do. But I'm going to prove that I've knocked down those barriers.
Tell us a little bit about that. So, you know, because there would be doctors and society that will place these limitations on you, right? And I'm sure you would have felt a whole bunch of them, right? Where people say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. And you're like, well, screw you, I'm going to crack on.
Watch me.
Yeah, exactly. Has there been a moment in your journey, or have there been, you know, what moments have you had in your journey when you felt that level of limitation put on you, and it's really tested you? Like, there must be times, because you're an incredibly strong character, like clearly you're one of them. You clearly have a resolve within your personality that is just beyond most. But surely there must be times when you've been like, fuck me, like really? Like, tell me a bit about those times.
So what really annoys me is there's a street near where I live, and there's shops and stuff on them, and you know there's like cafes and stuff, but there's a lack of drop pavements, so there's no accessible pavements to go down on. And some of the paths as well are so cobbled and so old, and I'm like, oh, why do you have to put these barriers in my way? And it really worries me, because I feel like living with a disability, you're having enough barriers anyway, period. And I'm just sick of the way that society treats us, like, you know, we're not capable of doing this and that. And I'm just like, no, but enough. Like, why put people down?
I find that fascinating, that I thought you were going to answer that by saying something like a mental hurdle and whatnot, but you've just literally, the way that you are wired is so pure. This is fascinating. The way that you're wired is so pure that you've instantly gone to a very physical thing that's just causing you a literal barrier to entering a shop, like a cobbled street or something, right? That's just, I think that sums you up really.
In December 2022, I was diagnosed with iron deficiency anemia. So I was spent 2 nights in hospital That was quite a rough road, but now thankfully I'm on a really good journey with that now. But that was quite tough because I'm not one to be ill. I'm not one to be in the hospital. Whereas some of my friends with CP, they have a lot of hospital visits and they're prone to chest infections and stuff like that. But I just feel lucky that because of that, because that was quite scary. I feel like I've been able to have another go at speaking my truth.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what is your truth? What is your truth, right? So you have these physical restrictions that society places on you, right? And you get frustrated and whatnot by all those sorts of things, but you have a liberated mind where you just don't see challenges, you don't see hurdles, you just see opportunities. Like, Francesca, like, what is your truth? Like, what is your map of the world? What is your view of the world?
I just want the world to be like an inclusive and more cohesive place, because look at some of the beautiful things that have been brought them to. You know, I mean, I played for Lancashire Spitfires, and where we're at now compared to when we first started in lockdown is just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, the club is thriving. We have the most underrated teams there in the northwest of England. Shout out Coach Warren Jones, by the way, and everyone else there. They're just absolutely amazing. Coach Warren is just unbelievable. I remember when we had our first real games against Salford Bees, I think it was. So they were a local team in Manchester, and we were getting absolutely thrashed. I think it was like 6-0 or 7-0, something like that, against the team. And I was just very, very new, so I hadn't even been to a match at that point. And I just broke down and I started crying. And he came over to me and he was like, "Sonic, regardless of the score, just keep going. Like, you do so much." And it was just like, you need to see like the confidence, because I didn't have a lot of confidence when I first started because of what happened in lockdown, because the government was so strict and because there were so many barriers put into place for people with disabilities. So we couldn't go out, you know, and sadly I lost a family member during that time too. So again, but I feel like joining Spitfires, I think it's made me more empowered to tell other parents' stories and tell my own stories and, you know, speak about who we really are as the Spitfires. And, you know, we're living proof that that there should be any barriers in sport whatsoever.
Now you make me laugh every time I see you on one of the videos with Javino. And Javino McLean, one of our previous podcast guest team, is an absolute inspiration in himself. But this is how me and Francesca actually met, was through that. And yes. and Francesca reached out to us after that episode. And I watch your episodes, your little clips that you have with him, right?
Yeah.
And for 1.1, you're like personality plus, like it's just off the charts. But you talk about sport, and you're really passionate about the Lancashire Spitfires and whatnot. When it comes to day to day life, though, do you register any more the level of comparison that society can put on someone like yourself?
Yes, because I think if you think about it too much, I think it's just going to eat you up inside, and you just think, you know what, I think if I spent so long on, you know, what society said I couldn't do, then I wouldn't be me. So I'm just like, okay, well, you're telling me that I can't do this. Well, watch me. But again, I think it just goes back to how my family have been at the end. And, you know, my past experiences, you know, at school and things like that. I just think because I've just been brought up to be so open and honest, and nothing's ever been sugarcoated either. So I think that's just how Yes. It's a very funny question when you put it like that, Andy, because nobody's asked me that question, but I just think, like, okay, well, if you're saying I can't do this, well, sorry, because I'll do it better.
I love that, man. That's awesome. You mentioned something then about your family and the fact that you've not had life sugarcoated. You've sort of faced it front on. And that's a really important little topic I'd love to dig into a little bit.
Yeah.
So your family have they always been tremendously supportive since day one? Have you had family members that have had the best intention in the world, right? But then sometimes judged you and felt that you can't do something because of your cerebral palsy and then become a bit of a hindrance in that respect with all their best intentions?
You know, I come from a blended family. But, you know, my mum and my dad have just been so supportive in everything that I've been. Another female role model is my grandma, so my dad's mum. She's such a strong lady. Honestly, she really is. If she could run for counsellor, she would. She's honestly, they've just been absolutely amazing, to be honest. I think that's why I've got the spirit that I have, because they're the ones who keep me grounded and that's worth. I think a lot of society thinks like, oh, she's a little princess and she gets whatever she wants, but that is just not me. But I think because my mum and dad, I think they've just been my strongest advocates and my stepmother as well. I think because they've all kind of seen that and they've heard that, oh, Francesca's had cerebral palsy from day one and you've had to digest that information. I think it's just made them fight even harder.
Mm.
I think it's made me fight even harder as an adult, because I feel like as a child, it's very different. Dealing with CP as a child, it's different because you feel like everything's great and, you know, everything's kind of given to you. But when you're an adult, in adult social services over here, that's it. You're on your own.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so unless you have that thick skin, you are screwed.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Rita, Real Estate Training Australia. Shane and the team genuinely care for the success of all of their students, not only providing them with the qualifications to enter the industry, but the skills in order to thrive. With 24-hour online support, access to one-on-one training sessions, lifetime access to industry mentors and support, as well as free job-ready training programs for anybody that gets their qualifications through their portal. They're a tremendous outfit, and they want to make sure that everybody that comes into the industry stays in the industry. For more information, make sure you head to their website, www.reta.edu.au.
So what happens? So like, you must have come across people with similar conditions that haven't got the thick skin, that have been sort of mollycoddled or whatever, and they haven't had as supportive a family. Like, how do you communicate with them, or what do you fear for them? You said that if you have got a thick, you haven't got a thick skin, you're screwed. Like, what is your inherent fears with people that have not got that resolve in them to be able to handle something?
It's, you know what my fear is? I think it's because of how the British government are, because the British government, although they put people with disability in a lot of their plans, they don't necessarily follow through. So, like, for example, they will heavily invest into children's services, whereas in adult social care services, everything you have to fight for. So everything that you think is normal in children's services, you have to say, well, my child needs this because she's had this from, but XYZ, do you know what I mean? So I feel like because of the way the government are with adults with disabilities, you know, once you reach 18, you have to literally fight. So things like equipment, things like activities, things like respite centres, you know, just so that parents can have a break. And that is another thing of mine is, well, why aren't young adults being given the support they need? What, just because they get a bit older? Just because they get a bit older? That means that their disability will stay the same, but they need extra help, you know? And it winds me up.
But, well, yeah, understandably so.
Yeah.
But have you ever felt that along your journey, have you ever reached a point yourself where you're like, this is just too much?
That's a really tough question. Well, I think not. No, because I feel like other people, I think all those who love me and all those who love my journey, they need me to keep on going for them. And for those of the warriors who don't have a voice, and I just need to keep fighting for them, because I've got friends who and their parents who don't always quite know where to go for that support. And that's like, I need to keep on giving that to them, because I feel like if the government again did the right thing, then, and you know, if we had more people like Jabina, for example, then the world would be a better place for it.
That's interesting how you find your purpose because of the fact that you live at times for others. You live for those around you, not just for yourself. Which is an interesting one, right? Because I've got this thing with, you know how like in society there's all this stuff about self-improvement and self-awareness and self-this and self-that. You know how like all this, you know, you everyone's on this journey for self-improvement and, you know, alignment and blah, blah, blah. And I have this thing where I actually think that that's becoming a real problem. And there's comparisons, there are some correlations between growth in mental health issues and growth in self, the word self. You talk about your life is you live your life at times because you have those around you that rely on you being a voice, being someone who is an example of what could be for people with cerebral palsy. I find that really interesting. Like, I mean, because what lights up you? Like, you talk about lots of other people and the Spitfires and all that sort of stuff, but what lights up Francesca Dean? Like, you?
Yeah, well, I love, like, going out with meals. I love shopping. I love cooking as well. I love to just do, like, the simple thing. Like, I don't know, like, go and get my nails done once in a while, or, you know, chicken sauce in my hair, or just simple, you know, just simple, literally stuff, you know what I mean? But, I just love, yeah, I'm not really into, like, I love going up walks, but I'm not really into like, animals or anything like that. I'm not really like that. Look, I'm an adrenaline freak. I once did an skyfall for charity. It was like 452. And
what?
Yes. Yeah. So I actually sailed down the radio system tower, which is in Liverpool. So it's like there's a charity event for local radio station, and I actually abseiled off.
What did they do? Did they like just like get you out of your wheelchair and like float you down?
Yeah, they put me into this harness, and then obviously they clip me up with like the harnesses and their face and whatnot. But do you know what? I actually would think because the crowd will go absolutely, like, the crowd will go absolutely crazy. It was broadcast all over the radio as well. And I actually got to do an interview after, so that was more.
Wow-wee. That's mental. 400 and what? 452?
Yeah.
Right. Gang, if you're paying attention to this in any way, shape, or form, this is probably, and I'm saying this in an entirely positive way, this is probably one of the more simple conversations that you're hearing on this podcast. This, right, because Francesca, lots of people that come on this podcast, not going to lie, they like to use really big words. Right, they really big words that you know make them sound clever and all this sort of stuff. The simplicity that you view life and the joy that you take from simple things is so completely inspiring, and in a sense, right, it kind of makes you, for being a bit upfront here, it kind of makes you sometimes feel like, shit, I've been a bit of a dick at times, right? Like, it really does. Because, you know, we whinge about first world problems and all this sort of stuff, right? And it's something that people that are able-bodied, that have no ailments of note, you know, no life-changing conditions and all that sort of stuff, like, a problem for them is, you know, running out of sugar for their coffee sort of thing, right? And, you know what I mean? Like, and in Melbourne, by the way, and especially in Melbourne, right, if the coffee's bad, then it's like World War 17. Like, we are coffee snobs. It's really, really bad. And so, like, to have this very, very simple conversation where, you know, what? I enjoy getting my hair cut, getting my nails done, shopping, going out. Real things that so many people take for granted. But for someone of your condition, like you've alluded to just like briefly once or twice, your condition could be the biggest excuse to not do anything, right? People could use it as a reason to not do a damn thing. And I'm sure you will have seen that with some of your friends and whatnot, right? Where, you know, I don't want to, it's not definitely not a pity break, because at the end of the day, it's bloody serious stuff, you know, cerebral palsy. Like, of course it is. And it is a debilitating condition in that sense. But the way that you don't see it as an excuse, and you see it as a part of what defines you, is, it's quite awe-inspiring. It does. It really sort of makes me actively, as I'm recording this podcast, sort of reassess a couple of things.
Yeah.
Because do you find that sometimes, do you get frustrated sometimes with when you see people having a whinge and a moan about something that's really insignificant?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself getting worked up around that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I do. Because it's just so... Because if you know, look at what I mean, I have to rely on my support records, my family, to even help me heal. And I even just look around the day, I have to get someone to do that for me. And I just think, do you really bloody realize how you are? Good thing. Like, I have a bed, I have a roof over my head, I have simple things. It just baffles me sometimes, but, you know, but it actually gives me a fire to do even better.
Okay, dig into that. Tell me more about that. So when you see people having a whinge and a moan because, like, of something very first world problem, and you say that it drives you to want to be better or to do better or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Explain that. So say, you know, give us it for example.
So, for example, I want to break it down here. So for example, a couple of Yeah, so back in we're in February now. So in the beginning of January, I lost a good friend of mine called Megan. He was another CP warrior who had CP, but obviously she had it on the other side of the brain, so that means that she couldn't really speak. She could eat and stuff like that, but she knew what was going on. Obviously, you know, sadly, you know, she got really miserable. And that happened. So I'd actually met Megan and her carers on a trip to the Calvert Trust. So the Calvert Trust is a centre, like, for people with physical disabilities, but also people with brain injuries as well, like acquired brain injuries. We do different aspects. Canoeing, abseiling, bushcrafts, that kind of thing we do. We go on the catamarans and on the boats and stuff like that. And he absolutely loved it. He, like, how much trust was mine and what is mine is hate when I like to run it. It's a place where me and her could be totally free, regardless of our secret. And I guess I'm continuing to do what I'm doing for people like her and her family and for those who need that legacy, because they can't speak or defend themselves. You know what I mean? So that's why I've got that fire, because I've got other friends. I'll give you another example. So, she doesn't play on my couch, I see, but there's a lot with her and my dad. Actually, her dad is one of our coaches. So my friend is called Zoe. You know, Stevie, again, he's a bit like Megan. He can't really speak, but knows, you know, what's going on. Loves everything he paint and stuff like that. And her and her family are just epitome of what Stevie warriors are. As soon as I have one sitting, and again, you know, for the Spitfires, I mean, there's so many families who come to us and who don't yet quite know the world around them. And I feel like it's my duty, my responsibility to do that for them, because a lot of parents and carers just don't know where that support system is, and we are here to provide that for them.
Is there anything that you find yourself envious of? Like, is there anything that you sort of look at sometimes and wish that you could do?
I would like to do a funeral, like crazy acting. So like the abseil thing that I just mentioned earlier, you know, the charity one. Like to probably, you know, again, at the end of the day, it's not about the physical thing, because that's something that I was never blessed with anyway. I was just blessed in my wheelchair, but me, I just focus on what you can do rather than the negative.
Do you find that it's because you will obviously meet people, for example, that they could have a stroke, for example. So they could have been perfectly fine, they've had a stroke, and then all of a sudden they have physical impairments that prevent them from doing X, Y, and Z. Do you find that having been born with it, there's obviously for yourself, you've not had any different, so therefore your measure of high performance is made from where you started at the very, very beginning. Whereas for some people, there would be that sort of real shock to the system whereby they were walking around able-bodied, and then all of a sudden they've been struck down with something, and now they're in a similar spot. Do you talk to those people and really know the notice the difference because they've experienced a different life, essentially, prior to anything going on.
Yeah, it's what's so funny because the amount of people that stop me, you know, when I'm in the supermarket and say, oh, you can drive a wheelchair better than I drive my car. And it's just like really stupid, but you people, you have no idea what it's like being in my situation. And I mean, I know they're trying to be funny and they're trying to make a joke about it. I just think, really? But no, it is funny. Like some of the things that I do get out and about. But what annoys me is when I'm out with my support workers. By the way, I just want to mention my support workers and my support team. They're absolutely fantastic. And you know, I have five of the very best people that girls you could ever possibly wish for. And they're another one of my advocates who really believe in what we're doing, and they do the job because they really care. But like they will say, but sometimes I'll go out of the supermarket, I'll do whatever, and they'll go, "What's wrong with this lady?" And then there, I'm here, I'm in water, and my carer's a similar level. Well, ask Francesca. You know what I mean? It's just shit like that that just makes me so mad because it's just like, and I am here. I do have a voice, although I do come on wheels. You know what I mean? It's just stuff like that. I just need to sell wonder.
So, would you? Because I mean, our conversations that we've had and whatnot, and you've sort of given me carte blanche to ask whatever I want to ask and whatnot, which I think is wicked. Do you just sometimes wish that people would just talk to you like a normal human being, and less like someone that's like, you know, framed by a wheelchair and all this sort of stuff? Because you are incredibly, you've got some personality, man. Like I, you know, it'd be one of those ones. It'd be very easy to go and have a laugh with you down the pub or wherever, right? Like, do you sometimes find that people misplace their sympathy, for want of a better word?
Yeah. I just think, don't bloody look at me as a pity face. Think of me as something. Think of me as someone that brings something blood to this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be a lasting legacy for people who don't feel confident enough to get their own gym and do that. You know, I want people to look at me and think, well, she's doing it. So why can't I? Or like, I want people to look at my disability and go, well, yeah, we may have been given that diagnosis, but yeah, there is hope. There is life.
Yeah. I think that this is a conversation that I think will make a lot of people reflect on their own behaviors and whatnot, because I think that society, this is the comparison thing, right? So we compare able-bodied people compare themselves to people with disabilities, and instantly they feel that the person with a disability, from their mind, is a complete disadvantage in life, right? Whereas your perception of the world, your view of the world, is one that you have no boundaries. Like you have no real restrictions on how you run your life. Yeah. And you are no less capable than anybody else that, you know, can walk around or do whatever, right? And I know that there'll be some certain practicalities like the cobbled street and whatnot, but in your mind, you genuinely just have an inane belief, despite society's comparisons, that you can do whatever the hell you want.
But I think, I think that's because of people who I surround myself with. I do not surround myself with one negative.
Right.
I just, you know what, if you don't like what I'm doing, then, you know, I'll see you later. a holiday. But no, I surround myself with good, positive, abandoned people. So, for example, my well-being, you know, obviously, my friends, my family, really good people, you know, who want to spread my message with. And you know, hopefully, in the future, I want to inspire other families, other children, and people who are on that same pathway, don't know what to do. Because when my family was here today, that was, yes, scary. And yeah, for a moment, there wasn't it, like, what do you do? But it was just a matter of, okay, let's just get on with it. Let's back on and give her a sign for it, how she deserves.
Amazing. So good. What do you, like, moving forward, right? What's, and I'm conscious of taking up so much of your time. I really appreciate your time. Moving forward, like, what does the future look like for Francesca Dean? Like, what do you want to achieve?
First of all, I want to maybe write a book about everything that I've just about the journey with the blessings and the journey, because I think it will help so many other people in the future. Carry on with the state pilots, because you know, we're obviously just a brand new, we're just a brand new territory. And I wanna look at the government in the face and be like, well, just invest in us, because what we're doing is breaking down, you know, we're moving mountains, we're breaking down barriers. And I feel like they need to see more of that. And also as well, just maybe going into schools and nurturing and kind of educating children for living life. Because I feel like the more you educate children and young people, the better it's going to be. And the how I feel like it's very important what they see and what to do, everything regardless of what their outcomes are. And it's just really a case of putting my Francesca stamp on the one, like,
I love that. I really love that. I want to put my Francesca stamp on the world. I tell you what, the world will be better with a Francesca stamp anyway, to be honest. So that's all fine by me. Now, Francesca, one thing that I always ask guests before we close the show is, if there was one thing that you feel is missing from your world at the minute that can help you achieve the level of high performance that you want to achieve, what would that be? But you know, for you, what would that be? Like, you know, you've got your goals there that you want to write a book, you want to inspire more people, you want to educate more people and whatnot. What is one thing from Francesca, like not physically, but like within your capacity, what's one thing that Francesca wishes or wants to improve within herself in order to get to that level of high performance?
Just to continue to be an independent badass, to be honest. Just to continue to shine my light on the world, because I feel like a lot more people within me need to kind of navigate that pathway for them. And I think if I can do that by educating, inspiring, now, where could you be? Like, where could this be? Working with my family, then I feel like I would do my job there.
I can't tell you how grateful I am to have spent a bit of time with you, Francesca. Guys, you can't see, if you just listen to the podcast, you can't see my screen. And this huge Cheshire cat like grin that I'm copping is quite incredible. Like, and I'm not saying that in a patronizing way. It's one of those ones where I think that if you don't genuinely feel someone's aura, then whatever you have to say can be patronizing, right? Like, I just believe that your aura really does represent who you are more than anything else. And the aura that I get from you is one of confidence. It's one of assurance that what you say is not just verbiage. It's not just words. You have this to the core belief that you have a responsibility to the world to educate them and to inform them and to inspire them and to shine a bit of a light on something that lots and lots of people do suffer with. And if it's not cerebral palsy, there'll be some other debilitating disability. There'll be some other disability that restricts them in life and therefore restricts them in their minds. But you sort of have an aura where the shackles are off and you're on. And I think that lots of people say that they live like that, but very people do it in reality. And you live with your shackles off. And that is just refreshing is an understatement, man. It really, really is. I mean, I shackle myself. Like I have, you know, whether you call it first world problems or whatnot. And, you know, people, at the end of the day, people's problems are people's problems, right? So let's not belittle in the same breath. And we don't want to compare. And we don't want to say, look, you've got it sweet. Look at me, da 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 da. So we don't want to fall into that trap of making those sorts of comparisons. But your aura clearly has no bounds. And it is just the best.
Thank you.
And I that's something that I'm learning. I've learned that from you just off this little conversation.
Mm-hmm. Like
your aura has no bounds. And I think in our journey towards high performance, gang, I reckon that's the thing that I'm going to learn from this. And I think that's certainly something that you guys should learn and really reflect on is what really is shackling you from doing exactly what it is that you want to do. Because that's how Francesca's running her life. And it goes without saying, of all the people that have got excuses, Francesca's probably got more than most. And yet, she's probably one of the people that doesn't really even consider them as excuses, but more like reasons to grow and reasons to show up. And showing up no matter what is probably one of the more profound definitions of high performance that I think we all need to spend a little bit of time just marinating on, because that's quite an incredibly succinct way of putting it. So Francesca, I can't thank you enough, though.
Thank you very, very much.
You're absolutely amazing. This is not the last conversation we'll have. I'm sure of that. And when I come over to Manchester later on in the year, hopefully we get to say hello.
Please come see us.
We'll definitely look at doing that. And is there any, before I let you go, is there any sort of last message that you want to get out there? Because I'd love to leave the final words with you.
Just always believe in yourself and the rest will follow. And for those who don't like the way that disability is seen, remember, disability is just a journey, not your destination.
The end, gang. That's a mic drop right there. Team, on behalf of Francesca and myself, stay safe, stay healthy, stay happy. Take the shackles off your life, man, because Francesca's showing us the way. All the best, gang.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The High Performance Human. Hopefully, we've given you enough value to justify the time that you've given us, and we've got you that much closer to becoming your version of a high performance human. If you want to have any questions answered, then please feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at Andy Reid Coaching, or alternatively, shoot me an email, andy@andyreid.com.au. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And I really can't wait to hopefully bring you some more value in the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy. Most importantly, stay happy.